Good morning, SP. My name is Ken. Thank you for coming up to EMP this morning. May I invite you, especially those sit at the back, you can move forward a little bit. I have a few slides I want to show you. You may not be able to see them if you sit at the back. I think where Aaron is seated, that should be fine. That should be clear enough. Where Aaron is seated is the business class section. You just upgrade yourself. It's complimentary today. Okay, so let's start with a prayer. Father God, thank you for the privilege of being here this morning. I believe everyone here in this particular place and time is here for a reason. You have a purpose for us today. Lord Jesus, I humble and submit myself to you. Use me to share your message, your heart, to encourage and to bless those present here, as well as those who may be listening through the recording. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. I pray that no one will leave this room without being touched by you this morning. We commit the rest of this morning unto your hands. In Jesus' name, we pray. So for today's devotion, I'm going to read from Matthew 28. I'll be reading from NASB version. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards showed fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for know that you're looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Verse 8, "And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee. And there they will see me.' Now, while they were on their way, some of the guards came to the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, 'You are to say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And this should come, and if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble.' And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this day." Verse 16. "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" I'd like to read once again verses starting from 18 to 20. You can see them on the screen as well. Verse 18, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." For this devotion this morning, I'd like to share with you two stories. They are true stories, of course. The first story is the story of Albert McKenind. How many of you have heard of Albert McKenind? I'll give you the context of the year and the place. The year was 1934. The place was Charlotte, North Carolina. Or in fact, it's on the outskirts of Charlotte. It's actually in a farm. Albert, at that time, back in 34, was a 24-year-old farmer. Well, to be precise, he wasn't a landowner. He was a high-hand day laborer, so to speak, to help with the day-to-day work within the farm. And in the fall of 1934, a preacher by the name of Mordecai Ham came to town for a series of revival meetings. Now, that's a pretty cool name, right? Mordecai. You know, when I hear Mordecai, I imagine seven-footer, big chest, thick neck, maybe with a scar around his face. Not the kind of character you want to run into the back lane of Wan Chai. But his last name is actually Ham, H-A-M. Or to be precise, his name is Reverend Dr. Mordecai Ham. Albert, at that time, he just came to faith. And he's all excited and he's inviting his friends to go to these revival meetings. And many went with him, except this young man. Now, this 16-year-old young man was a son of a farmer. He was tall, he's good looking, he's popular among the girls, and he wasn't really that keen to go. He was raised in a Christian home, though. He was baptized, attended church weekly with his parents. But like most teenagers at that time, he wasn't really into God. What you might want to say, more like cultural Christian, if you like. But Albert was very persistent and eventually managed to convince the man to go by offering him a chance to drive his dairy truck, the kind of truck used to carry milk around in the farm. So when the young man got to the rally, he was spellbound for a message from the first night that he went. And he went back night after night after night. On the last night of the rally, when Dr. Ham made the altar call, that young man stepped forward, gave his life to Christ, and he was born again. That was 1934. Since then, this young man had gone on and shared the gospel to over 215 million people in person in over 185 countries. Through radio and TV, he had reached over 2.2 billion people globally with the good news. Now imagine that was even before the age of social media. Now Gallup comes up with this 10 most admired men in the world list every year. He appeared in the list 61 times, more than any other individuals. In fact, as of 2017, that was his 55th consecutive year on the list. He had spoken at the inauguration of 9 different presidents of the United States. I am, of course, talking about Reverend Dr. Billy Graham. 2 weeks ago, at the age of 99, Reverend Graham went home to be with our Lord. The world knows about Billy Graham. Few people, though, know about Albert McKinnon. Albert was not there by accident. God placed him there, that year and the place, for a specific purpose. In the next picture, you will see this is the picture of Billy Graham Library. The picture was taken February 26, when people lined up to pay their respect to his casket that was on display at that time. You may notice a large crowd a large cross at the entrance. It was designed to send a message that the only way to God was through the cross, through Jesus. And that has been the singular message of Billy Graham in over 80 years of his ministry. The next story I want to share with you is a story about Fred David. Again, I'll give you the context of the year and the time. And this is 1964. This is exactly 30 years after what happened in North Carolina. And the place is New Delhi, India. Fred David was a Christian minister. He visited a hospital for the purpose of attending to a 17-year-old young man who was hanging on to his life, gravely ill at that time, after an attempted suicide. The doctors didn't give the family much hope at all for his recovery. In fact, at the time of the visit, his father had even left the hospital with the other siblings already. His mom stayed back and attended to him by the bedside. Now, this young man was raised in a nominal Christian home. But growing up, it was a difficult childhood experience for him. His home was not safe. His father, who was quite an educated man, a senior civil servant in India, used to beat him a lot, and his mom, in fact. He got a lot of beating, primarily because he was academically rather weak at that time. Which his dad felt brought shame to the family. At 17, he felt there was no hope and life was not worth living. So one day he went to the science lab in his high school and brought home some rather potent chemicals with a clear intent of killing himself. I say clear intent because it brought sufficient potent to kill many more people. Not that he wanted to, but it was meant to kill himself. Long story short, the servant at home found him in the toilet and brought him to the hospital. It was in that hospital that Fred David met this 17-year-old young man. And as the young man was lying there, hanging on to his life, Fred asked the mother of this young man to read John chapters 14 to her son. Though the young man was raised in a Christian home, he had never read or even opened a Bible. There was a verse that really spoke to him. It was in chapter 14, verse 19, where Jesus said, "Because I live, you also will live." Somehow he understood that as not physical life. He understood that as a spiritual life beyond that. So really out of desperation, he prayed. He cried in his heart, "If you are who you claim to be, take me out of here." He was praying to God. "I will leave no stone unturned in the pursuit of truth." 5 days later, he left the hospital as a totally different man. Since then, he went from the bottom of his class to the top of the class. He found purpose in life. He has since dedicated his life to learn about the truth and perhaps the most well-known Christian apologist of our time today. I am, of course, talking about Ravi Zacharias. When he was interviewed a few years ago, he was asked, "Who is the most influential person in your life?" He replied, "Fred David." Fred David was not at the hospital by accident. He was sent there by God to reach out to the young David on the fateful day in 1964 in New Delhi. So Albert McKinnon, who was a helper in a farm, and Fred David, who was not formally educated, by the way, are both very ordinary people. In fact, I would believe Billy Graham and Ravi Zacharias themselves would also consider themselves to be ordinary people, but they were used by God for extraordinary purposes. While not all of us have the anointing of Billy Graham or Ravi Zacharias, we can be the Alberts, we can be the Freds, we can be the Leanne, we can be the Monicas to the world around us. Would you close your eyes with me for a minute? Would you think about the person or persons who introduced you to Jesus? Think of that place and time when they reached out to you. They didn't have to, but they did. I'd like to thank God for them and pray for them during your quiet time later. If they're still alive, I'll encourage you to reach out to them, to thank them, and bless them. Now, would you ask God, who does he want you to introduce Jesus to? Your siblings? Your colleagues? Members of his staff? Your boss? The security guard downstairs? We're going to have a moment of silence and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. If you hear from the Holy Spirit, the name, the individuals, I encourage you to obey and to obey swiftly. You may not open your eyes. Now, you don't need any special timing or special reason to invite your friends to church. Any Sunday is a good Sunday. You do your part, and I believe God will take care of the rest. Albert McKinnon used whatever he had on his hands. He was a new believer. He didn't know much about sharing the gospel, but he had a dairy truck. which was used to primarily carry milk. By some account, he actually borrowed the truck. He didn't own the truck. He borrowed a truck in order to convince Billy Graham to go. Fred David, he had a Bible, a Gideon Bible, New Testament, you know, if you must know. What do you have on your hands? What do you have on your hands that God can use? Use whatever you have. Leverage whatever SB has to offer. If you need a reason on the timing to invite your friends, I believe the upcoming Good Friday and Easter Sunday are probably the best reason timing for your invitations. Now, while I cannot promote any SB programs at EMP, I think it would be a disservice if I didn't tell you today that something important is going down this April. You may check out SB website. It's right on the front page, at the very top of the front page. April 21st, to be precise. I want to come back again on the Matthew 28. On the last bit. And lo, meaning surely, I am with you always, even to the end of age. That's the promise from Jesus. He is with you and will be with you as you share the good news with others. As we now come to a close, allow me to bring or refresh you a few reminders that you're aware of already. Now, the great commandment, the great commission rather, Matthew 28, starting from 16 to 20, is a commandment. It's not a great suggestion, because Jesus didn't say, perhaps it might be a good idea to pray for the salvation of your best friend, or if you're not too busy, you might want to share the good news with your parents. God is always working around us, as we learn from E.G. God has a purpose for us, a place and time. We typically call it a season in our life. The place, I believe, now is Hong Kong and beyond. The time, I believe, is now. When I say Hong Kong and beyond, is that we are part of SB. And you see what God is working in SB. Look at what's happening at upcoming SB Shanghai, what's already happening at SB Beijing, Singapore. God can do whatever he wants. He is sovereign. But God chose to work through us to fulfill his purpose in us, as well as in others through us. In Philippians 2:13, Apostle Paul wrote, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." We are called to love God, to love our neighbors, to make disciples of all nations. Luke 10:27 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." In many ways, this is nicely encapsulated by SB's mission statement: to know him, to be like him, and to make him known. I'll now close with prayer. Father God, thank you for giving us the extreme privilege of partnering with you in your divine plan within the world around us. Give us the courage, Lord, to represent you as your ambassadors anywhere you place us. Use us, Lord, as your vessels to reach out to the lost, to the unchurched, to defend those without voices, and to be a light and salt in our communities.
When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipse my glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. And he is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes of grace. He's an ocean we're all seeking. So heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have the time to maintain regrets when I think about the way, and he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yeah, he loves us. Oh,
let's take the time of prayer now for our community. We can start by praying for our members of community, especially those who are afflicted by cancer. Let's lift up the members of the community as well who are going through the chemo radiation therapy treatment right now. Okay, we can switch to praying for members of community who are suffering from various forms of illnesses, and so praying for prayer requests for salvation as well. Praying for members of community who are struggling with different infirmities. Just lift them up. Pray for God's intervention upon those illnesses. We're now praying for members of community who are looking for a job. Pray that God will open doors for them. For the doors that God opens, no one can close. Okay, we're going to switch to the mission. To lift up SB Singapore. SB Singapore continue to expand. They're looking quite desperate for a children pastor. Praying for SPIN as well. SPIN is expanding under leadership Pastor Selamat. And certainly pray for SB New York as well. It's a new church plant in New York. Let's lift up North Ark, SB Youth, and SB Youth. SBU. These are precious, precious members of our community, younger members of the community. Pray that God will watch over them, watch your step, continue to guard their hearts too. Let's pray for our ministries. These are important ministries, the IP, the Well, and River. Going forward, with P. Ricky heading to Shanghai, Rachel will take over the Well as well. So pray for Rachel in particular. Pray for the outreaches happening on Thursday, SB Lights and Homie Outreach. Pray for volunteers serving in that capacity. Pray for the protection and grace and favor upon them. pray also for house churches meeting today. East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood. Pray for unity within house church. And pray also for anointing over our house church leaders. They too need our prayer coverage. Father God, thank you for the presence of Holy Spirit with us this morning. I just want to lift up our family, our members of family who are here this morning. Ask for a favor to be upon them, Lord. Grant them a special favor before they start the day at work, schools, and offices, Lord. I pray that whatever they work on, Lord, would you prosper them, make them successful in whatever they do. I also lift up members of the community who are not able to make it here today, Lord. Watch over them, bless them, guard them, and let your word continue to be the light unto their path, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name.